Psalm 33, and in verse 4 it says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He laid up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again this evening as we gather in your house, and we are reminded, O Lord, of your precious word and how it is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, Heavenly Father, and that thy word is truth, it is right, Lord, and that everything you do is done in your blessed holiness, Heavenly Father. And even the aspect of creation that we shall see in a moment, Lord, we just pray that you would remind us of these things and to know that you're sovereign and you're in control of all things, Lord. Help us to meditate upon thee. And as David has already instructed us in the first three verses, the importance of rejoicing in you, Lord, praising you, and blessing your holy name, O God. And so, Lord, bless thy word this evening, for we ask it in your holy name. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I think it was, we looked at the first three verses on Psalm 33, and we spoke on the command to praise God. And this evening, we'll look at the second point of our outline that was passed out, and that is the challenge to praise God in verses 4 to 9. In verse 4, we have that the word of God is good. In verse 5, the world is good. In verses 6 to 9, the world is great. Again, it says in verse 4, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." No doubt that the word of God is truth, that the word of God is good. Again, there's so many reasons to praise God, and this is what David has instructed us already in the first three verses and the importance of praising our great God. But now here, the psalmist gives us specific reasons for our praise. And I think that the word "for" at the beginning of verse 4 kind of shows this idea of David, that it sets forth the reason why we are to rejoice, praise God, and sing unto the Lord, as we saw in the first three verses. We should praise our great God just for the mere fact that he has given us his word. That is, that God has been pleased to give us his word, and therefore we can trust him. We can trust his word. Why? Because he said the word of God is right. The word right here in verse 4 is the Hebrew word yashar, which means upright, perfect. It's straight. There's no bending in God's word at all. It is righteous and true. And not only has God been pleased to give us his word, but God has been pleased to reveal himself through his word. And thus we can say that the word of God is trustworthy, because all his works are done in truth. And therefore, as his children, we can trust our God. As one commentator put it, he said, quote, "Our basis for believing his word is the perfect, uncompromised character of its author," unquote. I like that, which is true. And so we can trust God for everything. We can trust everything that God says in his word. And again, you know, there in Hebrews 4:12 it says, "For the word of God is quick." It's alive. This is not a dead book. "For the word of God is quick and what and powerful and sharper than what than any two-edged sword." I mean, you can get the finest sword there is, the sharpest sword there is, and it's nothing compared to the word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Why? Because it pierces and divides asunder of soul and spirit. Okay? And of the joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the word of God. That's what it can do. And therefore, there's nothing in this world. There's nothing in this world that can do what the word of God can do for the soul of a man. And again, because all his word goes right into the aspect of his glorious truth that is set forth in the scripture, And the Word of God goes beyond just the outward aspect of it. It goes into the inward part of the soul, into the intent of the heart. And so this is why Paul said that the Word of God is quick, it is alive, and it's powerful, and it cuts. And we preached on that before. It's a two-edged cut. One to convict, one to convert, to do a powerful work by His Word. True and righteous are His works. And thus, again, we can trust God, we can trust His Word, because the Word of God is good, and the Word of God, it is right. And then, in verse 5, we see that not only is the Word of God good, but the world is good. He says, He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. In verse 4, the Word of God is promised. Or I should say, the Word of God is His promise. And in verse 5, the Word of God is His performance. His Word is His promise, and His work is His performance, as we see it in creation. And again, because God loves righteousness and judgment, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. We could say that the world is in good shape, no matter what people will say and think and speak so much about global warming and things like that. The world is in good shape. Why? Because God is the one that has created it, and it continues, and He will continue to sustain it, no matter what man has to say. I mean, I love those words in 2 Peter. It is so clear. In 2 Peter chapter 3. And we live in a day where so many people are willingly ignorant. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 5, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old." By the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water. Talking about what happened during the days of the flood of Noah. He says, whereby the world, notice what he says, that then was being overflowed with water, perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, that is, God's word, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly man. No, global warming is not going to destroy this world. No, God's going to keep it in store till He comes back in flaming fire. And He'll be the one to do that. And that's why, again, we can trust God. We can trust His Word. Again, the world is in good shape because it is God who created it. And God is the one who continues to sustain it. That's why, again, as we say often, the sun always rises in the east and it sets down in the west. The day that that doesn't happen, we're in big trouble, my dear ones. As a matter of fact, God continues to sustain His creation. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, where 6 times we read that after God would create something specific, it would say, "It is good. It was good." But when it was completely done and creation was done, on that 6th day. And in verse 31 it says, "And when God saw everything that He had made, behold, it was very good. And evening and morning were the 6th day." And so the goodness of God is seen in the truth that God reveals Himself by His Word and by His works, namely creation. And I beg to remind you that God has given man a threefold witness, as we've seen many a times here in Romans 1. The commandments of God, which is the Word of God, the conscience, and creation. A threefold witness. Yes, the Word of God is good, and the world of God that He sustained is good also. And this is why, again, David says, "The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." It is full of the goodness of the Lord. In Psalm 107, verse 8, it says, Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And so it is good. And then in verses 6 through 9, we see that the word of God is great. Because it says in verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the water of the sea together as an heap. He laid up the depth and storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. When I say that the word of God is great, I mean that the word of God is great in the sense that God commanded creation to come into existence. And it came to pass. He spake. God spoke creation into existence. It says there, he spake and it was done. At verse 9. God spoke the word. Let there be light. And it was done. He commanded it and it stood fast. Again, in the beginning, what? God created the heaven and the earth. Again, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. I think that the word host here refers more than just the angelic beings. I believe it's speaking of the sun, the moon, the stars, and so forth. To think, again, that God would place each star in its precise spot. I mean, when we look at the essence of creation and consider the interest that God took in creation, I don't know about you, but it blows my mind. I mean, it's not like God just said, you know, created the star, the moon, and the sun, and he just threw it out there, and, you know, whatever happened, happened. You know, just bam, whatever happened. No. No, he took interest in his creation. You know? He didn't just throw it all out there and whatever will be. And it just happened to come to be. Oh, no. He put everything out there in its place. Everything was created in its precise place. Again, for example, when you think about it, the stars. That God would put each star in its particular precise spot of his own choosing. You recall there in in Psalm 8:3, it says, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. And what shall we say about God's answer to Job? I'm reminded of God's answer to Job there in Job 38. When Job had some questions for God, but God answered him. And in Job 38 and verse 4 it says, he's telling Job, Job, where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who had laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who had stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Wow, what an answer to Job. Excuse me. He continues there in Job 38. In verse 28, God said, had the rain a father? Or who had begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who had gendered it? The waters are hid with a stone and the face of the deep is frozen. And now, in the next few verses, God is going to deal with the constellations out there. I mean, can thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Can thou bring Mazareth in a season? Can thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Naming all the constellations and galaxies, everything. Knowest thou that the ordinance of heaven? Can thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Can thou lift up the voice to the clouds that abundance of water may cover thee? I mean, do you think Job was the only one that couldn't answer God? Well, now, probably about 4,000 years since the time of Job. And now, in this 21st century, with all our boasting of progress and great technology and unbelievable scientific discoveries of the great laws of nature, we're still unable to answer these questions in a correct and suitable way. Again, with all the boasting of science, and even with getting the man to the moon, and now trying to get to the secret of creation, what is the best answer that scientists will give us regarding how this earth came to be? By chance. By chance. It just, bam, one day, you know, pow, the great bang. It just happened perchance. Poof. And it all came to be. Oh no, my dear ones. Oh my dear ones, this evening, please understand that just one breath of the Almighty and man's speculation, man's theories, apart from Him and His Word, are but scattered and decimated to the winds and plunged into the depths of the ocean. You know, God can erupt the whole world into the chaos of a volcanic flaming fire as what is being seen in Hawaii. My. That's the God of creation, my dear ones. But again, what was the purpose, or what was the aim of God setting forth these questions to Job? Well, to show him and to show us that God is greater than man, for the purpose that it would humble the heart of man, bring him to repentance like it did Job, so that man might be able to know that knowledge of themselves as being sinners before a thrice holy God, and to be delivered from their sins, from the pride of their wicked hearts and their sins. Is this not the whole point of Paul there in Romans chapter 1? Again, remember he said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold down." God gives man the Bible and man suppresses the Word of God. They hold down the truth and unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, that's the conscience, and God has showed it unto them, that's creation. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And therefore, man would rather worship creation than to worship the Creator. My. And so David is reminding us of the greatness of God in the aspect of creation. Again, God placed each star in its precise spot of His choosing. Again, with the fingers, with the work of His fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast created, which Thou hast ordained, The word ordained there means to be fixed, to be firmly established, to set in place. Which reminds me, remember in Hebrews 11, at verse 3, it says, through faith we understand that the words were framed by the Word of God. The word frame means perfectly joined together. Everything out there, everything is perfectly joined together. Again, God spoke creation into existence, and then, as it were, by His fingers, He put the stars in the vast universe, here and there. And better yet, he named them. He named all of them. He set them all in order. And they were ordained perfectly joined together. In Psalm 147, 4 and 5, it says, he telleth the number of the stars. Here we are in this 21st century with big old telescopes that can go as far as we don't know. And they can still can't count all the stars. But our great God, he telleth the number of the stars. Better yet, not only does he know how many stars there are, he knows each and every one of them by name. That's the God of the Bible, my dear ones. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their name. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. And so, not only can God count all the stars and give the correct number of all the stars, combined in every constellation, in every galaxy, but my goodness, he knows each and every one of them by name. Yes, amen and amen. This is the greatness of our God. And this is why, again, the Psalm in the verse 4 begins with the word for. He tells us in the first three verses of Psalm 33 that we are to rejoice in our God. We are to praise our God. And we are to sing to the Lord. Now he gives us the reasons why we are to do this. And so now the psalmist commands us again to rejoice, to praise and sing unto our great God. Why? Because of his word and because of his work in creation. And again in creation, God has set forth the existence of mankind. He's the one that gave it all of us life. And as we're told there in Romans 1, that not one of them is without excuse. They can deny. They can say there's no God, but they know their conscience and creation, just that alone. And we know that's just, don't want to get too theological deep, we know that's just what was known as general revelation. And the man needs that special supernatural revelation, which is the Word of God, the Spirit coming to the heart of a soul. But yet, the whole point is that general revelation is enough to tell a man anywhere upon this planet that there is a God to whom one day they must give an account. And so none are without excuse. And again, the creation is but that general revelation that God exists. It still makes man responsible before God. So whether it's by natural revelation, through creation, or special revelation, supernatural revelation through the Word of God, God has revealed his existence to man along with his eternal power and preeminence over all things. That is, not only did God create the heaven and the earth, but also that God sustains everything he has made. In Hebrews 1:3, we're told that he upholds everything by the word of his power. In Isaiah 40, 26 and 28, it says, lift up your eyes on high and behold, who have created these things that bring it out their hosts by number. He calleth them by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, nor is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Yes, David is commanding us, my dear ones, to rejoice in our God, to praise our God, and to sing unto our sovereign and omnipotent God. And he gives us many reasons to do that. Again, amazing that God spoke creation, the universe, and again, including all the constellations and galaxies. But when he created man, he created man from where? From the dust of the earth that had already been created. Last time we read in Psalm 150, but I'll take you to Psalm 148. Turn there with me, my dear ones. Psalm 148. In Psalm 148, it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heaven, and ye waters that be above the heaven. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He had also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow, vapor, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Mountains and all trees and cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalted the horn of His people, the praise of His saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto Him. Praise ye the Lord." Wow. Again, back to Psalm 33. In Psalm 33 again, in verses 1 to 3, we see the command to praise God. But now in verses 49 of Psalm 33, we see what? The challenge to praise God. And may our great God move our hearts and cause us to be astounded when we go out at night and look out into the starry heavens at night. May we be moved to rejoice, to praise, and to sing unto our God. Knowing that again, He simply spoke the word and everything came into existence. My neighbors would probably think I'm crazy. They probably go, "There goes that lunatic again." Every time I go out to take trash at night or take out the trash can, I have to admit, I look up to heaven and I start talking to God. I look at the stars and I'm just blown away. I go, "Lord, that is majestic, my great God. That's amazing." It is. I hope you do the same thing. To look out there and just look and say, "Lord, this is glorious. A great thing He has done. My, my, man." I mean, when you think of the hosts of heaven, I mean, again, when He says here the hosts, I know it can speak of the angelic being, but I believe it includes the moon, the sun, the stars, all those other things. The untold billions and billions of stars in the skies. But let us be careful, my dear ones, that we get so caught up with creation that we idolize creation and worship creation. No, our Creator and Him alone. We can give Him praise and honor and glory for what He has done. But let us remember the warnings of Deuteronomy 4:19. And it says there, Deuteronomy 4:19, "And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven should be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole realm." So it was a warning not to worship creation like many do in our day. Instead of looking to God, they want to look to the stars for the future. Oh no, my dear ones. We must look to our Creator. Only Him and Him alone is worthy to be praised. Again, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God unto an image made to corruptible man, to bird, four-footed beast, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own body between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature or creation more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Oh no, my dear ones, let us worship our great God. And therefore, we are commanded to rejoice and praise and sing only to our great God. To worship our great and sovereign God. I'll stop here. I was going to pick up at verses 89, but we'll pick up here next week. Let's pray, my dear ones. Oh, Heavenly Father. We're so dumbfounded when we look at the vastness of creation and you think that this God knows us. This same God that spoke creation into existence would even enter into an everlasting covenant with us if we've been seen on Sunday mornings. Oh, what a joy. What a blessing to know the great and living God. And not only does he know the stars by name, but he knows his own people by name. And so, yes, Lord, let us do what David commands us to do, that we must be in the business of rejoicing our God, praising our God, and singing unto God, especially if he had put a new song in our hearts. And so, Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory and worship in the beauty of holiness. For thou art a great God, and this earth is blessed because you created it in your blessed goodness, Heavenly Father. O Lord, no doubt thou art good. Again, thy word declares, for he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Yes, it is, Lord. For we ask all this in your blessed and holy name. Amen.